cut over the...
That'd be even funnier, though, if you could hear the GPS while we're driving. Yo, what it do, you little fucks? Episode 37 of the podcast.
Whoa.
I'm here. I know, right? 37, man.
Whoa.
More episodes than I am old.
Me too, bro.
Here with my boy Raymond. He's back from round two. Hello. We back in the car again, another car podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
So, you were telling me about this house that you were about to...
So... The Lord has blessed me.
Make a left.
The Lord has blessed me with some awesome business, man. Since we last spoken, I've probably closed like three houses, and then I have right now I have three under contract that are about to close back to back to back, which is great. You know what I'm saying?
That's money.
Yeah, back to back to back. So it's gonna help out a lot. But it's been good, man. So I got this house, and so I have a client that was waiting on their appraisal. And we were negotiating things, and like I try to look at market values really closely, and I watch the market.
Yeah.
And I've been 100% spot on to what the appraisal that the government gives back. I haven't been missed. I haven't missed anything at all.
Because
some folks kind of overdo it or they underdo it, and they come at really wrong numbers. And at the end of the process, when the government appraises the house, you have to adjust and renegotiate the whole deal because your numbers were off. Well, thank goodness for my banking background. You know what I'm saying? I was able to analyze the numbers right and get it spot on every single time. Even if they're asking for a higher list price, when I negotiate it down, it always falls right in line with what the government says.
So your experience at the bank actually is helping.
Yeah.
Your time working at the bank is helping now what you're doing now.
Yeah, man, for sure. Because I can analyze the numbers more, and I can kind of come to the conclusion like, hey, you're asking for $200,000 for this house, but it's really worth $170,000. So my client's only going to pay $170,000. And so based on the numbers, this is what the house is worth, and I've been spot on, you know, since. So... that makes for happy clients because they pay less money for a house at the end of the day.
Oh, hell yeah. Nah, for sure, yeah, man. Bro.
But yeah, bro, man, it's been good, man. I've been hustling. I'm actually considering picking up a job. It kind of hurts my heart a little bit, but for the benefits, you know, as a realtor, I'm an independent contractor.
Yeah.
So I don't get any kind of medical benefits or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick up a job for the benefits and some extra money on the side.
Like too. A day job.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, me and my mom were talking about that this morning because, we both caught a toothache recently. She has benefits from her job, but she was telling me the same thing. She's like, your next job, ask about benefits.
Gotta get benefits, bro.
Because yesterday, bro, I went to UCF Arena because I got hired at UCF Arena for guest services.
Okay.
So, congrats. But that's part-time things, bro. Yeah, it's part-time, though, so there's not going to be any health benefits. But when I was there doing the paperwork, the W-2s, my tooth was killing me, dogs. I had a headache, and I felt bad because they trying to be mad nice to me, and I'm just sitting there like, oh, yeah, whatever, just get me out of here.
Yeah.
But anyway, benefits, bro. And then I'm gonna be part-timing at this burger restaurant, and I'm still waiting to open in September.
Nice. Which one?
It's called Twisted Root Burger.
Okay, I've heard of it, actually.
Yes. Oh, really? Yeah, it's a chain spot. So they opening a new one. It's all fresh food every day. Game meat. So you got ostrich, bison burgers.
What?
Yeah, that's, all that good shit.
They don't got that out here. That's new.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think this is the first Florida location, I believe.
That's new, bro.
Yeah, so I'm about to be a line cook, but when I went for the interview, it was a brand new spot.
Nice,
So check this out. The manager was like, yo, I'm looking. She said, first of all, within the first 30 days of the store opening, I had to promote some people to manager. And she's like, I'm looking at you right now. Your aura, your swag, like you're screaming manager to me right now.
She hit you with the aura.
With the aura. The euphoria.
The stuff nobody else can see. That's dope, man.
Yeah, so...
coming clean.
Hopefully, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had the fresh shave. No beard. I was suited up.
That's it. That's all it is.
You know what I'm saying? Pressure. And it's simple, man. It's simple mathematics. You'd be surprised how many bum-ass motherfuckers either don't put on a tie or wear fitted with the suit or the sneakers with the suit. And
bro,
it's like, bro, just suit up completely for one day. That's it, and you'll get the job.
Bro, I was a... this chick on the corner is like yelling at this... Oh, a car accident just happened, I think.
Ooh.
Something happened. This chick is yelling at this dude in the car.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I was crossing, but I could make a right. I don't care what you could make a right.
What is going on? Florida, lit.
Florida shit. Vice City shit.
Vice City.
That's some Grand Theft Auto shit.
Right? It looked just like it, right?
Everybody had hand was moving?
Yeah. I saw a video.
It looked like the prostitutes in the game.
I saw a video. This dude made a video, and I guess he had a drone following him. And he looked just like the top-down view. Like, yeah, it was hilarious.
Yo,
anyway, yeah, man. So, like, I used to be a manager at Wyndham, the timeshare company.
That's when I first moved down here.
Yeah.
That's what you
and
was
so
doing.
I was hiring people, too. I was doing interviews. I've done interviews and everything. And so, like...
You know where Hole over here is? You know, bust that right soon. It's coming up.
And so people would come up, people would come to the interview process, open house, and do shorts, tank tops, and the flip-flops.
And that's what I'm saying. I get it. You know, like I was saying that today when you pulled up. But again, if you come in to chill, it's one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Before a job. Oh, if you already got the job.
Yeah.
Because, like, my last job at Maitland, you know, they were coming to work dressed just like this with the nice khaki shorts.
But they could.
They already had the job at least. Yeah. They were just coming to work.
Yeah.
But for that interview, you got to suit up, dog.
And the reason why, though, man, it kind of sucks, man. But the reason why is because you want to stand out for the good reasons. You know what I'm saying? You want to make a really good first impression. And it's that old school of just to impress, just for the job you want, not the job you have type of stuff. You know what
yeah.
I don't know. I believe in that. I'll tell you right now, though, as a realtor in my own business, like, if I know you when we go looking at houses, I might show up like this. I won't be in a tank top.
Yeah,
but like, we know each other. You know what I mean?
Especially if it's another Florida local, like, or Florida native, like Josie, for example. Like, if you're going to link up with Josie about a house or something, which you already done, been through that, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm using it as an example of someone that grew up down here.
Yeah.
She would just be like, oh, hey, what's up, Raymond? But it's not like some stranger that's like, hey, are you the realtor?
Like, yeah, are
Raymond the realtor?
Who are you? Yeah. Yeah, no, so.
No, it's all good.
So, My first, like, for her, like, when I first met her, I was dressed, like, in a, you know, business casual.
Yeah.
And, you know, for after that, I never showed up in, like, shorts or anything because I was helping sell her house.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you know, when we're looking for houses casually or anything like that, and, you know, I might show up, you know, a little comfortable. But I will also tell you that when I go to a closing and I'm meeting other businesses, like, if I'm doing a business-to-business meeting, I'll be dressed better.
Yeah,
you know,
suited up. Yeah. No, sure, of course, man. You just gotta know what, like you said, I forgot the way you phrased it right now, but just knowing what you're going in for.
Yeah.
Knowing what you're going in for and dressing for that particular occasion.
And because you dressed like that and you were cleaned and everything, she saw management in you. So that's it. At the end of the day, when you go for your job, she'll remember that. Oh, you know, Kenny's the manager. Kenny's going to be a manager one day. And try to do that. You know what I'm saying? Try to become that.
Yeah, like right now there's a group chat, and I don't even really talk in that shit because a lot of people, I feel like they're talking themselves into a hole.
Oh, yeah.
Like exactly. They're posting funny-ass weird shit, and it's like, y'all kind of showing yourselves a little too soon. Like, just chill. The store's not even open yet. Yeah, and the manager's already going to have a full-blown opinion about you.
Yep.
I like being the mystery guy where they don't know nothing about me
much. I would say lay low, man. At the end of the day.
When the store opens, you know what I mean?
Well, like, in the room where they make those decisions, man, it's really, it comes down to, like, who they know, who they trust. Like, I didn't realize this until I started making those calls.
You mean when higher-ups of any company get together and talk about their employees
been in that room.
Yeah, bro, I see what you're saying. Bro, wow,
it's amazing how much little things come into play. Cause like you'll be in a room, right? I never forget this, bro. I'm getting chills talking about it.
Cause
I've been operations leadership in a company. I won't say the name of it, but you know, all the supervisors are in the room. I'm the operations director. Uh-huh. All the supervisors are there, and we're trying to pick the next supervisor.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has something good to say about you, but then that one person's like, "Yeah, but I saw on their Facebook I saw on their Facebook that, you know, they're a hardcore political supporter of this side, and they were real negative about it, you know, and I don't want that negativity to come inside and influence our organization, and they kind of blackball you, and they won't pick you, or they'll be like, man, I saw them post pictures of them smoking blunts and stuff like that on that, bro."
And
that's exactly how it happens. So your resumes may be equal. You guys may have the same experience and everything. But if somebody had a bad meetup with you, or you were in the hallway with them and they saw you doing something stupid, like scratching your butt and smelling your fingers, not saying that happened.
No, I got
you. You know what I'm saying?
They'll catch that one mishap.
And that could lead to. So always be on your, my advice is always be on your P's and Q's, and always think of it as if like they're looking for the next leader. And then at that point, do your best at work, and then take your time. Like, it might take a long time, you know.
That's another thing. You might not get that promotion so fast as you thought, or someone might get it before you, but you can't let that hinder you.
And, bro, so many times, you know, people apply for a job and they get told no. Leadership still watches you after you got told no to see how you react to that no. Bro, it's crazy. People will be like, oh, I didn't get it, and they start bad-mouthing the leadership and all that.
Yeah.
If you want it or not, that stuff gets back to leadership. And they watch how you behave. They check your performance. They say, man, this person's not coming to work on time as much as they used to anymore. Because they're mad about the company. They're mad about the decision. You know what I'm saying? And then that plays into it. Keep applying. Then they start to recognize you, and they know how bad you want it. And then when it's the right time, bro, it happens. You know, so just
it happens,
like,
yep.
Bro, I've seen it happen so many people so many times. And that's my advice from being like an entry level employee to somebody who's moved up the ranks into operations, like almost not executive, like Ivy League leadership, but like up there where I'm making those decisions for people. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going straight. Yeah, that's crazy. Why with the political stuff, I never got into the political stuff too hard anyway.
I'll stop, 'cause I don't like
and it. I do have my opinions about this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
But yeah, I try not to post too much political stuff, man.
Yeah, man. Like, I used to be into it too, man. My thing is, now that I'm a business owner, my clients range from Democrat to independent to Republican to hardcore crazy.
So it's like, yeah, so it's like, man, but the old school way growing up, and we were talking about this earlier about making America old school again.
Yeah.
Based on Big Time Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out
to Big Time Tommy.
Deadass. I wish I had his actual IG so I could really plug it. But people know Big Time Tommy. He's viral already.
Look him up on Instagram. He's hilarious.
Fat guy with the cigar.
He gave some really good advice today.
Looks like one of my uncles or some shit.
That's so funny.
but you know, we were always taught growing up that you keep religion and politics out of the workplace.
Yeah.
But now with Facebook and now with the whole way that this election has went,
yeah.
If you watch The Great Hack on Netflix, they talk about how much social media has an influence elections.
I haven't seen that
so
yet.
So now it's almost unavoidable. Like the last few jobs I've been at, you'll catch people talking politics. It's hard to kind of keep your political views under the blanket.
Yeah.
But you have the choice to not post stuff on your personal page too at the same time.
You know what's also crazy?
But also, my bad, I just want to say real quick too before I lose my train of thought. The bud too, like the bud posting like weed and shit on Facebook, social media, it's rough because we're in a place now where it's becoming legalized, but there's still a stigma attached to
correct.
It. So it's like I try not to post too like stuff me smoking blunts and that. I want to get to a point where it doesn't matter, where I can like
yeah.
Like let's say I got my medical marijuana shit and I go to a dispensary and I have a bunch of nice dispensary stuff like edibles
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I want to take a nice flick of it, but right now I wouldn't do that because like I feel like people would still judge. But you know, I want to be at a place like.
You know, it's kind of like this, right? This is kind of the way I kind of see it. Maybe my mentality is kind of old school, but like, you don't see people posting cigarettes or posting pictures of
or their six pack or their bottle of alcohol. They bought. Yeah, like, yo, hey, that's how. Yo, cigarettes. I never thought about it like
man,
that.
Man, I'm smoking these cigarettes.
Oh, look at
today.
This jewel. Look at me smoking my jewel. Yeah, that's true. That's
so,
true.
So you know what I mean? Like, it's
like keep weed like cigarettes and beer. Just something you do
mindset,
on the side.
You know?
Wow.
And like, you'll be surprised how many professional people in higher levels of leadership either drink every day, probably
and smoke
weed every single day, but they're able to maintain
it. Yeah.
You know, they're able to come to work on time.
They don't put it out there. You don't have to put it out there.
That whole like stoner sitting at home by themselves is like a stereotype, bro. It really is. You know, and that just is what it is. What it is at that point in time, but they're not posting it about it. You know what I'm saying? Because they know.
Let's keep going straight another 2 more miles.
They know about the stigma. But yeah, man. So I try to be mindful of what I post nowadays.
Shit, you gotta stop at the ATM.
Yeah, there's gotta be one.
Gas station, next gas station we see.
I try to be mindful about what I post nowadays just because, man, like, we're at some really weird times in, like, American society, bro. Like, changes are happening and, like, I don't know, bro. I don't even know.
Yeah, I went to Wendy's yesterday and I sat down, I looked up at the TV and it said the 9th NYPD cop commits suicide.
Yo, what?
And it's like, damn. And then I saw something else where it said, a headline where it said the 7th child is shot by gunfire, by crossfire or whatever. Oh. Yeah, this young black girl, like maybe 8, 9 years old or some shit. She was probably playing outside or whatever.
Yeah.
Got caught
with
a ricochet bullet.
Wow.
And died.
Wow, bro.
So, like, there's a lot of shit. We were talking about the mass shootings just now, a few minutes ago before we got in the car.
Yeah.
All these mass shootings happening.
It's crazy, man. And like, at the end of the day, I think
the world is going fucking nuts right now, one person at a time.
You know, I think that needs to be even a greater focus. And it's been talked about recently more on the military side, but this kind of even affects everybody, not just the military, but post-traumatic stress disorder, dog.
So my brother's suffering from now. He comes home Wednesday, matter of fact, too, from the VA psych ward. Suffering from PTSD and schizophrenia.
Bro.
And all they do is just give you meds. I watched a special on Vice, and that's a shit on the VA or the services, nothing like that. Because I didn't serve. And it's crazy because over the weekend when I was in New York, and I got crazy stories about New York.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
But I was chilling at a block party, and this girl, like, these are all people that know each other. And this girl, like, this guy came, he's a vet, and he just came outside to chill. And this girl was like, you used to be my friend until you said that shit on Facebook. And then they started arguing.
And it turned out
what happened with that little quick thing is, before I move on to my main point, with that little thing, what happened was he had posted that he doesn't think that he himself, being a vet himself, doesn't believe that transsexuals should serve in the thing.
Oh, wow.
So, and then she had made an opinion about it. You know how that goes. Then they start commenting back and forth. So then she had voiced her opinion about it. And then what happened was he told her, well, basically what he said was, well, look, if you didn't serve, you don't have a right to an opinion about this.
Oh, wow.
Another 1.1 mile.
Is this gas station, though?
Oh, gas station. Yes, sir. So then they started arguing about that. She's like, yeah, but that's why you fight for this country. You're fighting for my right to have an opinion. Right. And he's like, yeah, but when it comes to people and where I, like, he's like, you know, so they just had their ish, they had their debate about it. They had their points about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, point about that is that, you know, I personally feel that the VA, and again, because I haven't served, so I don't feel right, like, saying, having the criticisms, but looking at my brother, that's the experience for me, and the way the VA treats the sick vets, the mentally ill vets, it's not even just the VA, it's just in general, they, like, even regular people, they all they do is give you meds and then kick you out, essentially. I'm really generalizing, but, like...
So, I have PTSD. I was diagnosed with it last year.
I remember, you told me 2 years ago. Well, not even 2 years ago, you were telling me that you saw shit when you was in overseas.
Struggling. I was struggling with it, you know what I'm saying? And I ended up, that's when I ended up starting to go on leave. We probably can turn...
Let's pause it right here. All we're gonna get some
good stop point.
On the way back home. We're gonna pick it right back up. All right, now we're back. Part two.
So
we just had to stop, make a quick run, do some things, and now we're back. Got some Taco Bell. It's about to go down, baby.
Shout out Taco Bell.
Shout out to motherfucking Taco Bell.
Sponsorship.
Word.
Imagine.
Go to TacoBell.com/Kenny.
Get a 10% discount.
Get your first Grubhub order on me. Nah, let me stop.
Use the code What's Beef.
She said, "You want? What she said? Do you want to add
double
extra,
beef with
double
that?
Beef?
Like, we got
Jesus,
beef
it's called a beefy Fritos burrito already. And you want shit? Nah, that's too much fucking
extra
beef.
Extra beef? Too much beef, man.
It's too much. I like a good meat to like everything else ratio when it comes to food.
Like, yeah, it's gotta be balanced.
Yeah, because then it's just fucking poking out the dough out the tortilla and it's all sloppy. It's too much. Some fat ninja shit right there.
Chris Farley. Shout out Chris Farley. Yeah, man. So we're talking about PTSD, right?
We're talking about a lot of shit. PTSD, real estate. Damn, yeah, but dude. Oh, but I think we left it off with the PTSD.
Yeah, man.
So I think this is
my personal opinion. I'm not an expert, right? But as somebody who is still struggling with PTSD, who has been medicated, been given all these medications, I found other ways to deal with my PTSD. I'm a huge believer in medicinal marijuana and using it medicinally, not abusing it, right? I'm a big believer in, talking about your problems, because that alone does a lot of work. I'm a big believer in therapy. Most motherfuckers don't even like to talk about it, but shout out to all my therapists out there, because they can help you through some hard stuff in life, man. Like, talk to a therapist. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's okay. You can be a man. You can be a minority man and still talk to a therapist. There's no... You don't lose your man card for doing that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think that they do. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess. So, that's the thing. Like, with mentally ill people, I was saying earlier that, you know, they just, like, want to pump you full of meds and get you out of there.
Yeah.
But how much of a factor do you think therapy plays into someone's recovery? Do you think good? Do you think it's helpful?
It's important. I think it's pivotal, because at the end of the day...
Because in your defense, or, you know, like... Well, not in your defense. I come up with the wrong terminology. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is basically, like, the one thing that some mentally ill people don't do is seek therapy. Like, they don't meet you halfway. They sit back and go, oh, they just want to give me meds. I'm tired of the meds. Yeah. All right. But, like, are you doing anything on your end to try to get you?
So there's a couple of things, right? And this is what I feel like. Some people need medicine because chemically there's an imbalance. And that makes sense, right?
Yes.
But I also feel like congruently with that, I think it's also important to have somebody to talk to that can explain to you, at least, if not for nothing, to tell you, hey man, what you feel is normal, and that's you should feel like, to validate your feeling, right? Like, man, like, yeah, you should be afraid to drive past that clump of grass, because when you were in Iraq, that clump of grass was actually an IED that blew up an entire squadron of vehicles. So it makes sense for you to be afraid of that. That alone, that validation alone is like super like cathartic, you know what I'm saying? It's very
my chest almost hurt right now, because I almost got sad. Like, I remember the day that I had to tell my therapist, because then one time at one point when I was with my ex, I was really bad. My bipolar, my mood swings, my attitude. Little did I know it had to do with the fact that, you know, I was just in a toxic relationship that needed to be ended.
Yeah.
And we were, I was going against the grain. But anyway, the point is that mentally I was at a point where I had to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And I had Medicare or Medicaid or whatever, like, the, you know, like hood shit, hood insurance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, but I still, I was able to Google a therapist that did take Medicaid, and he was dope, man. And he believed in spirituality.
Yeah, a lot of people do, actually.
And he was deep. He was an Asian guy. I forget his name, but he was a Chinese guy. Hold on, let me check the GPS. Yeah, you're going straight to Hull Road, another 1.6 miles. So, and he was good, man. I only did like 3 or 4 sessions with him, and I would come out of there feeling amazing.
Sometimes that's all you need. Yeah.
And I remember the day I had to call him. I got off the train from work, and I because I had gotten a call that my health insurance was gonna expire, bro. Mm-hmm. And no, he called me, and he's like, "Hey, what's up? I just want to make sure follow up. You still coming in today or whatever?" Yep. Like, and I remember having to tell him, like, "Yo, man, I can't come in no more." And it's basically now I'm kind of ODing, but basically it just felt like, "I'm sorry, I can't seek mental help for myself because the government." You know what I mean? Like, because my health insurance expired. Yep. I can't seek mental health help now. So, I'm sorry, brother. And I felt bad. He felt bad. And, you know, that was it. And we got off the phone.
Yeah,
but
it's unfortunate, man.
If you don't have health insurance, that's another factor. If you don't got health insurance, it sucks, man.
It does, man. So, you know, I wish I have a dream, right? My an amazing world would be that therapists are getting paid by the government as contracted employees. They're getting paid regardless. And the only thing limiting their ability to see you is their schedule, right? That'll be perfect, but unfortunately, it's not like that. Only way I could afford a therapist, to be completely real, was through my employer. My employer has something called EAP, which is the Employee Assistance Program. And if you call them and say you have an issue, they will set you up with a therapist, and you get 5 free sessions.
That's what's up,
That's
man.
The only way I could have afforded to do it, because therapists are expensive, you know?
Yeah, I was talking to this chick up in New York, and every time, man, I would be like, "Hey, how you doing?" She'd be like, "Nothing, I'm mad, I'm depressed, this, that, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Yo, why don't you go to a therapist? Like, you need therapy." And she got tight. She got super tight.
Yeah. I don't need therapy.
Well, you know, at first she was like, "You know, I can't afford it and stuff." But I'm like, "Yeah, I hear you, but are you doing anything else to try to, like, for mental health things? Like, are you, like, trying other avenues?"
Yeah.
And she didn't like she didn't like that at all. I mean, to the point where we don't even talk no more. She's like, "Lose my number."
Wow.
Yeah, she got super angry about it.
Wow.
And maybe I did come off insensitive about it, but it's only because I too have been through it. So it's like earlier when I was talking about with the military, where I didn't serve in military, so I'm cautious to be critical about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but mental illness is something that I deal with, that I've dealt with my whole life. Yeah. I've seen it. My brother, you know, the whole gimmick. And so, hold on.
Good.
And so, you know, when it comes to that, I feel like I am in a place where I can talk about it, where I can give advice, where I can be open about it.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, the point being with that is just the fact that, you know, she couldn't afford it. She just couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And she's suffering right now, man, and mentally. And it's a woman with a job, full-time job, an apartment. Yeah. Like, you, on the outside, it looks like she's living a perfectly normal, chill life.
Yeah, bro.
And on the inside, she's fucking dying.
Yeah, man. You know, and I think that people, you know, people don't want to. It's hard, man. And like, if somebody were to come to me and be like, "Man, you should go see a therapist," I'd probably consider it. You know what I mean? But a lot of times, the first step is taking ownership that you have control and that you can overcome it. A lot of people don't want to take that step because that's a heavy step. Like, to be able to say, "Hey, man, all the stuff that's happened to me in my life is because of choices that I've made." That's hard.
Do you believe in spirituality?
I do, man.
Because
I find myself more spiritual.
Yeah, because I realized, like, as you were saying it, that part of treatment for mental illness is meds, because it's the chemical imbalance, right? So that's the scientific side. That's the logical side.
Yep.
That's fact. You mix this chemistry with this chemical, and it makes this chemical now type shit.
Yep.
Right? So now there's logic, but then what's the juxtaposition? The juxtaposition to logic then is... It's like, it's not in the mental illness world, it's not creativity per se, but it's like, it's non-logical. It's like, besides the logic, the science of the medicine and the brain, what is the other avenue that makes people go a little crazy? Is it, are you just questioning things? Because you also got to think about the people that have been labeled crazy that are not crazy.
Right.
Like, going back in the days when people question stuff, they'd be like, "He's crazy."
Just crazy, so people don't. Yeah.
Yeah, you know
Lock
what I mean?
Away. Yeah, yeah.
And so, I bring all that up because... you know, when I went to New York a few weeks back, and I'm going to do another, probably a deeper podcast about this, but...
Yeah, this is important stuff, yeah.
But I took shrooms for the first time.
Okay, yeah, wow. I've never done that before.
And shrooms is very therapeutic.
I've heard that, yeah.
Very psychedelic. What it does, it takes your mind and it opens up valves. Like, all the stuff that you have clogged, the stuff you have suppressed that you don't want to deal with or think about, it turns those valves open.
What?
And all that shit starts flowing to the front of your brain.
That's an interesting way to...
It's like a guy comes, he takes all the shit you don't want to think about that's suppressed in your mind, he takes it all, gathers it, and he just... It's like a film where the surgeon comes and he's just laying everything out on the table, his little tools.
Here are your issues.
Yeah, here are your issues. I'm going to lay them in front of you, and you do what you want to do with it. You can think about it.
What?
You could figure out how you're going to attack these things.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And it also gives you so much warmth in your heart and love.
Wow, bro.
And it helps you understand how to be a little more positive, more open, more caring, more loving.
Wow.
And so now, because physically you feel that warmth and love in your heart,
yeah,
mixed with... The therapeutic part of it,
kind of, it sounds like clarity.
It starts meshing things together with a sense of moment of clarity. Where yes, when you're coming down from it, you have a newfound plan of attack on how you want to attack these things that
that's
you have.
That's insane,
bro. And
I've
that's
heard of
bro.
It.
And even still, I don't even feel like I'm doing it full justice explaining it.
Is it Colorado or what state has
Colorado
legalized?
Has legalized it? Yes, mushrooms, yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Brother. This shit is therapy, man. This shit is pure therapy. And so, this shit did for me like. Probably 10 sessions of therapy, bro. What 10 sessions of therapy would have done for me.
Wow, that's important.
Like, it gave me a newfound light on when I come back to Florida.
Yeah.
Like, we were just like, well, the show's talking about how now I'm going to do Uber Eats and I have two jobs now. And, you know, like, it just, it helps you keep it 100 with yourself. I'm, you know, I was sitting in this bathroom tweaking out and I was like, yo, I'm fucking lazy. I got to start doing what I got to do. Now, there is this sense of paranoia.
You get
the sweats.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're back in the hood. So now I don't even need the GPS. Let me turn the GPS off. So now you're just going to make that right all the way down on Dean. Let me close this shit off. Just closing out the maps. So, you know, that's why I say that I guess the shrooms also does something chemically to your brain. So I guess there is still a logical part of taking shrooms
where it
goes in your bloodstream. And it's
psilocybin,
still,
right?
And it still does stuff. Oh, I'm not sure what the exact components are. But
yeah.
But the hallucinations, the psychedelic part, you know, the part that helps you unlock your mind and it clears blockages and all of that. To me, that's spiritual. Like, to me, I don't think you can explain that in scientific terminology. Maybe they can, because someone was showing me your brain, your neurons when you're not on shrooms versus when you are on shrooms.
Wow.
When you are on shrooms, your brain neurons are like.
I'm a science nerd, man. So like, if I ever do anything like that, I want to know like the scientific what's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, for sure. And so, it does obviously have a logical effect on your brain, but it also takes you to a place spiritually, man. That's like, it's hard to put into words, man.
That's interesting. Okay.
And so.
Okay.
I think that I think everyone needs to try shrooms at least once in their life.
Just
I think
to see what's up. Wow.
Yeah, especially people that are uptight. Because I'm telling you, because like I felt like sometimes I feel like I have a stick up my ass. Sometimes I feel like I'm uptight, and it released all of that. Like
wow.
I don't like I feel loose.
Wow.
Like I know that sounds mad gay.
That's
you know
a real gay. It's okay, man. Listen, man, it's 2019, man. Do your thing.
But I said we ain't judging. Nah, but you know what I mean? Like, mentally, stressfully.
That's good, though, man.
I feel loose. I feel open. I feel comfortable.
I feel relaxed.
I feel like everything's going to be all right, no matter how, you know what I'm saying? Like, chill, dude. And again, it's hard for me to put into words, but man, it was so helpful for me. It was so beneficial. I'm down here now with a new state of mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be more loving.
These
more.
People might be like, again, like, if they take it, they fight against those feelings.
Oh my God, there's one. I don't want to get too much into it,
but I've heard of that happening.
I'll put it like this. I've seen someone have a really bad trip off of it.
Wow.
Yeah. But part of that bad trip was because of what they were seeing. They were seeing the devil. They were seeing God.
Mm-hmm.
They were seeing their mom. They were seeing their girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
All those demons. That's what I'm saying. All that thing. All those things that were suppressed.
They bring it to your front.
To the front, bro.
Wow.
And this person wasn't ready to deal with that.
Yeah.
They did, right? Because what someone told me that day when I took it was, you might not get the trip that you want. It might not be your pink elephant. Hee hee ha ha. But you'll always get the trip that you need. You can bust this right on Dean Road.
Wow.
you always get the trip that you need, bro, because you come out of it and you go, wow, I needed that. I saw things and there were things that happened in my brain during those hours that, like, I needed that. And now I'm ready to move forward.
So this brings up an interesting topic. So I've never done this before, but I've been reading about it and I've been seeing documentaries about it. But the ayahuasca ceremony. You know what ayahuasca
is? That's how it felt.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a...
So Terrence McKenna, you know about Terrence McKenna?
Nah, I don't know details, okay, but okay, cool, it felt like we went to Peru to take DMT and find ourselves. Because we did this shit in the Poconos up in the sticks in Pennsylvania. We went... Yeah, dude. So we were up in the middle of the woods getting shroomed out. Bunch of frat bros. It was the chapter. It was the retreat.
That's so funny. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So I forget you're a freaking bro who I'm talking to.
How you forget I'm a bro, bro?
I know. Damn, bro. Bro, how you feel? I'm a bro, bro.
I think my chapter, you know, shout out to
yeah,
my
it was a chapter retreat. Yeah. It was our chapter retreat. Man. And we, you know, I won't say we all got shroomed out.
Yeah,
some of us chose to. Some of us chose not to. I chose to do it. It was an amazing experience for me. Did I geek the fuck out? Hell yeah. There was a point where I was standing there with my hand on my waist, and I was like, I don't like this. 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 Bro, that trip, because at one point I did get paranoid. I did have the sweats. I had to go outside.
Because you don't know what's going to happen, and I think your body reacts.
It was my first time. It was my first time, and my body was reacting to that high for the first time, and I got paranoid.
I've heard that you just got to relax. Try to relax.
That's something they kept telling me. They're like, don't fight it. That's the worst thing. That's what the bad trip happened to. Kept trying to fight it.
Wow.
Kept trying to fight it. Made it worse. So, yeah, you got to embrace it. You're not in the driver's seat. You're in the passenger or in the back. And you need to just let it ride. That's it. And you need to just enjoy the ride. Because it takes you on that ride.
So, you know what? So, I think now that we're talking about it, somebody gave me a capsule form of the mushroom. They were like diced. It was like a powder or something like that.
Did they break down how many grams? Because they do make tea out of it and shit like that.
It did nothing.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Nothing. You can't be halfway pregnant with shrooms.
I didn't feel anything.
Nothing. Yeah. The best way someone broke it down for me was, if it's a concert, you could chill and you could be in the parking lot or you could be front row.
It's different.
Listening to the music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You were probably in the parking lot. Not even,
bro. I was probably at home watching it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, because you were... you was live streaming the concert because you didn't feel nothing. I took 2 grams.
Okay.
A lot of people's first time, they take
an
eighth.
Was it a pill form or did you like...
Actual mushrooms, my nigga. Okay. So, that's what I'm saying. In its raw, pure form. And like, you know, weight on the little scale, 2 grams I took.
Yeah.
And I tripped the fuck out. A lot of people, their first time, they take an eighth.
Yeah, I just took a pill.
The person with the bad trip, again, I don't want to get too much into that.
Yeah.
Also, a whole eighth, 3.5 grams. Oh, that's a lot, especially for your first time.
Yeah.
Whoo! Intense.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. But okay.
But what do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what even that looks like or anything.
Oh, right.
I have no idea.
Well, right here.
Is it, my bad.
Can I do it here? Yeah, no, I guess you go around the block maybe or some shit. I never went through these little blocks. Yeah.
Somebody's
property. Get off my property.
Yeah.
I'll fucking shoot you. They probably got cameras. They probably like, who the fuck is this?
I'm gonna give them one of my real estate cards.
Ooh, nice. I was just checking out your house. It's not for sale.
I probably should put a flyer up.
Just chill. Nah, let's get out of here. Let's go smoke. We got blood in the way. We already home. We just made it to the crib.
Gorilla Real Estate. That'd be a funny brand.
Yeah, but the shrooms, I forgot what we were talking about, but
we're talking about an eighth and...
Oh, yeah, just like bud, in the sense that literally the same thing, way out, same thing like weed, like as many grams as you want to take per gram. Yeah. So some people do 3.5, which is an eighth, 3.5 grams, you're going to turn here.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a hard trip to do a whole eighth for your first time. I did 2 grams, which is a little less than an eighth.
Okay.
And I still tripped the fuck out. And if anyone's going to do it for the first time, don't do a gram. Don't do a little bit. Don't do more than an eighth, but do enough to where
you...
Go to the concert. Don't sit in the parking lot. Yeah. Go to the concert and get that therapy you need.
Speaking of concert, I took my wife to go see J-Lo last month, man.
Oh, how was that? My mom loves J-Lo.
Bro, amazing.
She's still bad, too.
50?
50, and she can still get it. Drink her bath water.
We were actually on the floor, bro. Crazy.
Damn, that's litty. Imagine if you was on shrooms for that. Nah, that's not a shroomy concert.
I wouldn't even need to,
That's Spanish and shit. That's chill shit. Yeah, you don't need to get shroomed out for J-Lo. That's too much.
That's too much. That's like, I heard somebody doing it and going to Disney World. Like, why? Like,
wow, that's fun. If you could control your shit, if you know your shit.
Yeah, you gotta know.
Disney will be the illest with all the characters and the colors. Oh my god.
Bro.
That could be a dope ass trip and Disney shroomed out.
I've heard people do it all the time.
Now we're back.
And this concludes our podcast.
And this concludes our podcast, brought to you by Shroom Tech.
Oh my God. Wild.
Yo, but yeah, bro, it's been good. And we'll catch each other on the next one, brother.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Yeah, man.
Peace and hair grease.
Yes.